Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sundays. For those who have found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. And for anyone looking for a new church home or just a church to visit, come and worship with us at 10:30 any Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. The opening scripture selected for this morning is Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6 and 37 to 45, taken from the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this message. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light at night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, yes, and Abraham his servant. He brought his people out with joy, his holy ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you so much for the love that you've shown us. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, our Savior, who died for us. We thank you so much, Lord, for those that are around us, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us, Lord, to be your church, to be your servants. And now, Lord, as we go forward in our service, we pray that our hearts will be right, and that, Lord, our worship will be on you, our minds will be on you and your worship, and only you. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, would you please stand? Stretch your arms out a little bit. Look around at all your wonderful friends and all your the beautiful believers that I know you just can't wait to pass the passing of the peace.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness.
Peace be with you also.
Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes.
Peace be with
this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Peace be with you, husband.
Here I
peace
am
be with
to
you.
Worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say
got you.
That
peace be
you're
with
my
you.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to
be. Yes, sir.
Would you please find your way to your seats, please? Amen. Amen. I hope everyone had a chance to pass the peace. At this time, would you please stand for our call? Our call to worship, please. Please stand for our call to worship. Psalms 130, verses 1 through 8, and it's up on the screen, and it's also in your hymnals, number 848. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in the Lord's word. I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. Amen. You may be seated. You can do the announcement. The announcements.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Today, we have 1, 2, 3 birthdays and 1 anniversary. First one is Hector Martinez on the 7th, Gwen Clem on the 28th, and Lance Shaw on the 29th. Okay, 27th, I'm sorry. And then the anniversary, David and Lisa Edwards on the 30th. Now let us sing Happy Birthday. Is there any other announcements?
Yes. Before we go, hold on, Sandra. Let me say this, Homer. This just came to my heart about birthdays. You know what your most important birthday is? Anybody care to guess? I'm sorry, what now? The day that you were reborn in Christ. Amen? That is our most important birthday. And reason why is that? Because when we were reborn, we got a new lease on life, if you will. Amen? Born into the family of God. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel just awesome. Amen? God bless you. Okay, announcements.
Good morning, everybody. On Thursday at 11 o'clock, we're having our lunch bunch. It's not in our bulletin, but Eileen asked me to make this announcement that everyone is invited, and we're going to Dante's, and that's on Giftsboro and Timberline at 11 o'clock. And if you guys could call me and let me know that you're definitely coming, or raise the hands or tell me this morning, I would appreciate it, because I need a head count so I can tell the restaurant how many are coming. Now, for my next announcement, in 2 weeks, we're going to start a new Bible study. That'll be, October 9th, I believe, on a Tuesday. And I want y'all to take a look at the name of this, if you can read it. It is Never Lick a Moving Blender. And the title just caught my eye. But Marvin Phillips is a pastor of the Church of Christ, and he's been a pastor for years and years. And he dedicates this book to Peak of the Week class, the faithful group that comes every Wednesday night to hear one more lesson designed to peak their week. Such are regular members of Garnet Church of Christ, where I served as senior minister for the past 26 years. Anyway, this book is humorous, incites, and motivates and encourages. And what's interesting about this is our son Matt, years ago, when he was really struggling as a teenager, he got a hold of this book and he read it. And then he brought it home to his mother. And he says, "Mom, I think this will motivate you. And it's humorous. I've read it. It's precious." And I encourage everybody on Tuesday at 10 o'clock to join us for a really interesting Bible class, which I'm hoping Ted is going to help out in the class on a continued basis, but because our class is kind of dwindling because of illness and different things that have come up. So if you could join us for 1 hour on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we sure would love to see you. Thank you.
Have you ever prayed about something that you really needed guidance on?
Amen.
I've been praying about being a better mother and a better caregiver for the longest time. And I was expecting to get an answer about that. What I got was spiritual gifts. And it's like, what do you mean spiritual gifts? I'm already working in the church. And it was like, okay, you need to learn about spiritual gifts. And because of that, I am sponsoring a workshop on finding your spiritual gifts. It's going to be on the 18th of November here at Alamo. There is a sign-up sheet in the, I think I called it the church lobby, probably because I couldn't figure out how to spell vestibule. It's on the table. It allows you to sign your own name as a participant, and also to put the name of a guest, someone you'd like to bring with you. We do need a head count, because we will have coffee and donuts or muffins or something in the morning, and then we will have lunch. So we definitely need a head count. But we also need all of you. We are a living church and a living body of Christ. And I know that there are some gifts out there that you haven't even tapped yet. And you know people who have gifts that haven't been tapped yet. And it's because they don't know they have them. Come to the workshop. Help us find out what our spiritual gifts are. Put them to work. We need you. Thank you.
Homer? Hold on, Homer. Oh, yeah.
Yes, next Sunday for the adult Bible class, Christianity 101. Next Sunday, we're going to show I'm going to show, with Harriet Williamson's help, we're going to show a movie. It's going to start at about 20 minutes before 10. It's like a 25-minute video, and it should be ending around 5 after 10 a.m. So I encourage all of you that can make it for next Sunday, if the Lord tarries, for the Bible class. It's going to be a video. It's going to be about life, what Christ said about life after death. Very important video. So I encourage anyone who is able next Sunday to be there. We'll start around 20 minutes before 10. And God bless all of you.
Anybody else?
Would you stand for our opening hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a prince so faithful?
You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Please pray with me. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, friends.
Morning.
Let us pray for our offering. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the privilege of sharing with you a part of that which you have given to us. We ask, Lord, that whatever our offering is, you make it be adequate and sufficient for whatever needs you have for it. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50, the parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Man, you may be seated.
Dear Lord, we ask that you be with us, especially now as Pastor Ted brings us the message that you have given him. And we ask, Lord, that you let each of us hear with inquisitive ears so that we may remember the message you have given Ted that he passes on to us, and that we, as his servants, may pass on for you and for our pastor all that we can possibly remember to those who need to hear it well as well. This, Lord, we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Let us pray. God, be in my head and in
yes,
my understanding.
Lord.
God, be in my eyes and in my
eyes.
Looking.
Yes.
God, be in my mouth and in my speaking.
Yes.
God, be in my heart and in my thinking.
Yes.
Most of all, God, be at my in and at my departing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Kids, okay? I can hardly see y'all, but this morning I wanted to tell you about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is like. See, Jesus tells us a short story in the Bible about the kingdom of heaven. And we all want to go to heaven, right? Right? Okay. Well, this story is about a fishing net. And the net was called a dragnet. Two boats, or sometimes one, would carry the net. And it was pretty huge, and they would drag it through the water behind them. And as the boat moved, the dragnet would scoop up all kinds of fish. Now, the dragnet was used by fishermen like Simon Peter and John and James to catch fish. And the dragnet in Jesus' story caught all kinds of fish. So, once the net was full, the fishermen went to the shore and they drew the net up to the beach. And then they started to sort the fish. And they sorted out the fish they had gathered. The good fish they put in baskets, and the bad fish they threw aside because they couldn't use those. And Jesus said, this is how it will be at the end of the age. And the angels will come and they will separate bad people from good people. So, the fishermen in this story, they were catching two kinds of fish. They caught some good and some bad. Now, what did they do with the good fish? That's right. They put them in a basket. And what did they do with the bad fish? Good. Good job. You really paid attention. Well, now, I brought some fish today. And I would like for you to tell me which ones are good fish and which ones are bad fish. Okay? So, do you think this fish here is a good fish or a bad fish? What do you think? A good fish, you think? You all think so? A bad fish, maybe? It's kind of hard to tell, isn't it? Let's look at a different one. Yeah. Let's look at this one. You can't tell if they're smiling or not, so maybe that's why you can't tell. So, is this one a good fish or a bad fish? Bad, you think so, Suave? Think a bad fish? Okay. They all look, oh, they all look poisonous. Okay. Well, what about this one? That's a crab. It's not even a fish, is it? You can still eat them. But in the Old Testament, they could only eat fish that had scales and fins. So this would be a bad one in those days. But once Jesus came, they could eat anything. So it was okay. And what about this one? A lobster. Those, some people eat lobster, don't they? Well, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is it's hard to tell good fish from bad fish. And it's also hard to tell good people from bad people. So, we need to help all the people. And we need to love all the people. And we can help people by telling them about Jesus or God. And we can tell them how much Jesus loves us. And we can even help them. Do you think you could do that? Could you tell people how much Jesus loves us? And if you have a hard time sometimes, maybe I do sometimes, opening my mouth, but you can just let your light shine. And you can smile at people and just be kind. And that would be a way to tell them about how Jesus is in your heart and could be in their heart too. So let's pray, okay? I'll say it and then you guys repeat after me, okay? Jesus, help us to trust in you so that when we die or when the angels come, we'll be able to live with you forever. And help us to tell everyone we can about you so they can live forever too. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, good morning, folks. Amen. It's so good to be here today. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord for one more time. Amen. Amen. Jane told a wonderful story about fishing. I preached this sermon last night on the porch. So the only one that heard me was Tessie and whatever else was in those bushes out there. So I asked her, don't you go to sleep because you've already heard this. But this is one of my favorite sermons or scripture and teachings by Jesus. Because you know why? It's about fishing. And I happen to be one that I love to go fishing. Not any good at it, but I like to do it. Just because it's relaxing and it kind of helps me sort things out. So, today we're going to start a 3-week series. And it's going to call Hooked. Hooked. So, and some of you might be wondering, is he going to be talking about Captain Hook and the pirates? No, we're not going to talk about pirates this morning. This series is all about fishing, fishermen, nets, and the wide open sea. You see, in Jesus' time, fishing was very common, and it was a very important way of life activity. In fact, many of the disciples, they were fishermen. And many, if you read these parables before this one, many of Jesus' parables involve fishing and the area around the Sea of Galilee. And this is where Jesus did the majority of his earthly ministry. So as you can see, fishing was a very big part of New Testament life. And learning to become fishers of men is an integral piece of New Testament discipleship. Now, unless you've never been fishing before, or you've never seen an ESPN reality show or ESPN to tell you how to catch all the best crappie in the world, you probably know this. Fishing requires patience, skill, mental and physical strength, and a willingness to get your hands dirty. And this is important, the right tools. Now, when you think about all those different things I just called out, it sounds like fishing is a lot like ministry. So maybe that's why the Lord, he made the connection in the gospel. Maybe that's why the metaphors and parables, they still hold so much value for us today. Even though we're thousands of miles and years apart from the original disciples. So, what's so special about fishing? And why in the world do we need to spend 3 weeks talking about nets, fishermen, and the sea? The short answer to that question is this. Because Jesus did. That's what he did. So, before I get too far ahead, I got to talk about the kind of fishing that we're referring to in this particular series. You see, and this is the very kind of fishing that Jesus was referring to in the Gospels. You know, specifically when we're talking about net fishing as opposed to line fishing. And net fishing is, as you imagine, throwing a large net into water, either from the shore or from a boat, and scooping up as many fish as possible in this net. So what I did, and I searched this morning, me, Jan, and John, we went upstairs, and look what we found. I found for you something like a fishing net, but I think actually it's a volleyball net. But I'm hoping that you'll get the idea of what I'm talking about, all right? This is a net. Think about this for a minute. And what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a big net spread out all over the lake or the sea. And what the sea he's talking about is humanity. He's talking about the earth. And what he does, what a fisherman does, he'll take his net and he'll throw it out there or from a boat and he'll drag this thing all the way across the sea. Drag it all the way across the sea. And what do you think he's looking for? He's looking for fish, isn't he? All kinds of fish. Tons of fish. As many fish as you can catch. When I go to fishing, when the lake, well, it's pretty down now, out at Converse Lake, they got a big sign that says, no fishing nets allowed. That's because one person could come out there and catch everything that was in there. But Jesus is dragging this net across the world. He's dragging it, and he's trying to catch all the fish that he can. Now, do you think Jesus is after just Methodist fish? Is he after Presbyterian fish? Church of God fish? Episcopalian fish? Baptist fish? Is he a Jehovah Witness fish? Seventh-day Adventist fish? He's after all of the fish. He doesn't care what you are. He doesn't care where you've been. He is dragging that net across so that he can catch all the fish, because he knows that one day he's going to have to separate those fish, the good fish from the bad fish. And you know what, folks? This is very important. It is not our responsibility, listen to me, to separate the fish. Amen? The one who does the separating is God. He'll separate. When the angels come at the end of the age, he says he's going to have a net of these angels are going to come, and they are going to get all the bad fish, and then they're going to throw them away. Jesus said they're going to throw them in the lake of fire, and they'll be burned. Now, I got to tell you, as I told Tessie last night, when I was a child and I heard that kind of preaching, it just scared literally the hell right out of me. It really did. Because I knew I did not want to be in that bunch. I wanted to be in the bunch where Jesus, the angels collect them, and they go to be with him. They go to be with him. So now you kind of get an idea of what this net business is all about. I wish I'd have had a better net to show you, but I don't want to unroll that thing because I'm afraid I'll never, ever be able to get it back together again. So, he says it's like a net. And what he's saying, he is referring to that type of net. He says, and to be more specific, talks about this is a drag net. That type of net, he says, was dragged over the bottom of the sea with the ends of it drawn together. And instead of using a singular line to spear or catch a fish, that would be a whole lot more precise. He just threw it out there. And he wanted everything. Now, good fishermen, they always know the good spots. They know where all the good crappie are. They know where all the bad. They know the good spots. And they always throw their nets in that direction. But Jesus' idea is that net would grab everything, you know. So now this sea or lake, depending on the translation in your particular Bible, it represents the earth, and probably, and to be more precise, it represents humanity. You've heard the old saying, there are other fish in the sea. Well, that's kind of like what this parable is all about. And the body of water is representative of all the people in the world. Now, what if Jesus said something like this? The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman who casts his line in the lake looking just for the perfect rainbow trout or all the good cropping, you know. And while on the other hand, he was very intentional with people all throughout the New Testament. We also know this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Jesus is looking for everybody. He isn't looking for the perfect rainbow trout or all the good crappie. He sent his son to redeem the whole world. You see, the Heavenly Father, he lowered, oh gosh, when he lowered the gospel net of salvation over the sea of humanity, and the net is gathering up anything and everything in his path. And, you know, and one of the reasons why I think this parable is so amazing, that it describes the kingdom, is just like that, a dragnet. And it grabs everything. Even in that net, it grabs up lobster and crab and all kind of turtles and garfish, everything, everything. So it kind of gives us an insight of how the kingdom is going to be one day. It's going to be like that net, gathering all kinds of people in it. In fact, in the book of Revelations, John saw that a glimpse of the end time community. What's it going to look like? What's it going to look like in the end time for a community of believers? This is in Revelations 7:9. This is what he said. And I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Revelation 7:9. This was an accountable and uncountable multitude, and it includes every nation, tribe, people, and language. All were standing before the throne, and they were ready to worship. So this is a beautiful picture of the multi-ethnic end times community that we can expect to be part of. You may be disappointed that it won't be all Methodist there. It won't be all a certain kind. It'll be all kind of people, all those that love the Lord and have given their lives and have worshiped and believe in him. So it'll be the righteous. Now, the kingdom is just like a dragnet, and it's gathering up all kind of people. Remember that. So it's going to gather the righteous, the unrighteous, and everything in between. And eventually, what's got to happen? What does God have to do with this big old net of people that he's gathered together? He's going to have to separate it, isn't he? He's going to have to separate it. So I wonder if you've ever did a series about crab fishermen. And there's always a scene where they haul in their nets, and they have to sort out what they're going to keep and from what they're going to throw back. So maybe you hate fishing. Maybe you don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. So if that's you this morning, I bet you do have this. I know me and Chester, we got one. I bet you got a junk drawer at your house. Amen? And every now and then, 2-3 years, you try to find something in that drawer and you can't find it. So you take that drawer and you dump it out on the table and you start to separate all this stuff that you need. I don't need this anymore. I need this. I don't need this anymore. So you're doing basically what the angels of God is going to do one day. So whether you're into fishing or you have what they call a catch-all drawer in your house, the lesson Jesus wants you to learn is still the same. And simply put, it's this: there will come a time in history, dear one, when the contents of the kingdom net will have to be sorted out. And Jesus elaborates on this in Matthew chapter 13. He says in 49 through 50, so will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13, 49 through 50. Now, folks don't like to hear that kind of talk anymore because it scares them. But you know what, folks? It ought to scare you. If you're not right with Jesus, it ought to scare you, because that's a reality that is certainly going to happen one day. It's a harsh reality for those who don't believe. But you know what, folks? It's also a wake-up call to those of us who do believe, because we still have time. You see, as long as we're in this net together, we still have time to share the gospel with those around us. We still have time to pray and to seek salvation for our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, and even the strangers we meet. But there will come a time when the final trumpet will blast, and the end of the age will surely come, and there won't be any more time left. And when this happens, it'll be a time for sorting. And that job is up to God. He is the chief fisherman. He is the divine creator of the earth, the sea, and everything. So, as we close this morning, at the beginning, I said that fishing requires patience, skill, mental and physical strength, a willingness to get your hands dirty, and the right tools. So as we end this first week together in our hook service, I want you to double down on this particular statement. Double down on this. We're all going to need a lot of patience. We're all in this kingdom net together. We're going to need a lot of skill, mental and physical strength. And we're going to have to get our hands dirty and definitely get the right tools. So our jobs as ambassadors for Christ is to join our Lord in spreading the blessed gospel by sharing the good news of the kingdom. You see, our job is not only after, we're not just after those that we think are worthy. Our job is to offer the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. And you know what, folks? Let God deal with the sorting it out in the end. And you know why? Because that's his job. And we all know that he is faithful and he'll do his part. But the question this morning is this: will we do our part? So here's a challenge for you this weekend. I want you to be thinking about how you can share the good news with others. How can I participate in throwing this dragnet, this kingdom net? Where do you need to exercise more patience in your life? How can we grow our skills in sharing with others? Pray and ask God to increase your mental and physical ability. And do this: humble yourselves and get your hands dirty in serving on others. And if you need to spend a little extra time, a little extra money to get some better tools for the journey, I'd encourage you to do so. So let's have a great week, and let's do our part in spreading the kingdom net. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, give us the wisdom and courage to partner with you in spreading the kingdom net as far wide as possible. Help us to become unconcerned with who's in the net and deeply concerned about how many people are gathered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. The invitation goes out to anyone. Anyone who may have a need this morning to know the Savior better. Anyone who may be out of the ark of safety. Anyone who may need to know the Lord. And it goes out to anyone
who needs to pray for these skills that we need to be good ambassadors for Christ. Would you be an ambassador for Christ? What does that mean? That means that you will do what Jesus wants you to do. He simply wants you to tell your story. Tell your story about how the Lord, what he did for you. And you know what, folks? That's you. That's not theology. That's your story. Tell them about the Savior. And then they'll be in that net. And perhaps they won't be gathered up and thrown in the fire and burned. The invitation is open to anyone who wishes to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? The church is one foundation. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is the creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to bear his holy bride. With his own blood he brought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet o'er one on the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints who watch are kept, the cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song.
Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is dragging his net across humanity. Will we be there to help him? That's the question this morning. Will you take part in this, as he drags that net, will you be a part in helping to spread the gospel? Amen?
Amen.
God bless you this morning.
Let's continue to keep all of our homebound family members and friends in our thoughts and prayers. Continue to pray for our country, for all of our citizens, for all people of the U.S. and all of God's children around the world, all these countries that are in turmoil. Continue to ask God to help them. Continue lifting up anyone. We've got quite a few that are under the weather and family. Virginia Molinoff and her daughter-in-law, her granddaughter Reagan, prayers of support for her son. Lord, hear our prayers for the Molinoff family.
Amen.
Continued prayers of uplifting for Kathy Bedell. Lord, hear our prayers.
Amen.
For Tom and Eileen, he's under the weather, and Eileen was in her rehab, so continue prayers for them, their children, grandchildren. God, Lord, hear our prayers. Very dear friend of mine, lifelong friend actually, asking prayers for her husband, Marcos Martinez. Lord, hear our prayers. Prayers for Lance as he recovers from foot surgery. Prayers for Sunny, she's under the weather. Lord, hear our prayers for healing. Continued prayers of support and uplifting for Jim Whitney's son up in Dallas battling cancer. So, Lord, hear our prayers for the Whitney family. Continue prayers for all of our first responders, all the people that are out on a daily basis serving us and helping us with our needs. And, you know, we can help by saying God bless, saying thank you, and spreading Jesus' name and spreading His word whenever you get the opportunities. And what a beautiful sight to see Miss Sandra this morning. Eileen and Miss Bonnie and Selma, after being under the weather for a week or so, is here this morning. So thanks be to God that we're all here today. Now go out and enjoy this beautiful, hot, humid fall Sunday. And just enjoy and be thankful at every chance you get for God's grace. And I want to thank the roofers for putting a new roof on our house. Landscapers on our yard, it looks awesome. As soon as we get that garage repaired, you know, submit us to Better Homes and Garden.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Since you got all that done, when are we all going to come over and have a big party there at your house?
Anytime you want. I'm back. I'm going to be barbecuing this afternoon.
Amen. 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 God bless you.
God bless all of us, and amen. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us prepare to pray this morning. If you would, just hold on somebody's hand, if it's possible. You don't have to move around. Just hold hands with someone. Lord, we heard your message this morning, how you want us to go out and, Lord, to spread the gospel. We heard your message on how the skills you said it would take. We ask you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us these skills. Help us, Lord, to go out and be good fishers of people, that we may be able to fill that net. And, Lord, we can't do it without you. And we humbly submit that this morning, that it must be done with your leading. We thank you for the congregation this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you love them. We thank you how they love you. And as we go forward, Lord, we look to you for our leading, our guiding, and we ask you, Lord, to be our light. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing and that you're going to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
And as we depart from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guidance. Peace.